everyone, it's AK. So it has been a while since I have made a podcast. I didn't really have anything to say, so that's why I haven't done one. But there's been a few things that have gone on. The first thing I wanted to talk about was Joe Biden. Joe Biden on Charlemagne's YouTube, I think it's called like the Breakfast Club or something. But it was a disaster. Basically, the entire time he was on there, he was basically trying to talk himself up and pander to the black community. And you could tell Charlemagne wasn't buying it. Like, the look on his face was hilarious. So one thing that he did not do is own up to some of the things that he did that affected the black community negatively. Like, he didn't own up to the 94 crime bill. I'm surprised Charlemagne didn't ask him about him being buddy-buddy with segregationists in the 1970s. The thing that bothered me the most was, you know, you could say that these things happened and own up to it, but say, hey man, that was 35 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, I'm a different person now. This is how I feel now. Instead of trying to explain it away or ignore the question entirely. I mean, because I would hope you changed from 1970 to 2020. If you have not changed, that's a problem. You should. You need to change. I was thinking about that earlier. You know, for me, the past 10 years of my life, I'm like, wow, I was a completely different person 10 years ago. So, but the meme and the trending hashtag is hashtag you ain't black. So Joe Biden, towards the end of the show, Charlemagne said, you know, I have something along the lines of, you know, I have questions still, you know, people in the black community still have questions. That man said, if you have a problem choosing between me and Trump, then you ain't black. And I'm like, wait, what? And Charlemagne handled that so perfectly. I mean, the way he responded back, he said, it's not about that. It's not about Trump. You know, he didn't go in on him about him saying that comment. You know, he's basically like, it's not about, you know, being for Trump or you. It's the fact that, you know, the black community, we still have questions for you. So it's like Charlemagne was saying, you know, my community still has questions for you. It's not about Trump. It's not about deciding between Trump or not. It's about, will you give us answers to the questions that we have? So, and then of course they tried to do damage control, and they said that he was being funny, or he was joking around or whatever. And I'm like, I think that's one of the most offensive things he's ever said. He said a lot of offensive things. He's the one that talked about Obama being an articulate and well-spoken black man or something like that. And I'm like, how did you pick him as your VP? So I don't know. And of course, you know, Biden from the old days, that he didn't see anything wrong with him saying that. He didn't think that was offensive, because I guess back then it wasn't, to say something like that. I guess it was a compliment. And it's like, nah, bro, this is the 21st century. We don't talk like that. Even if you think about it, you don't say it out loud. So that was pretty offensive. And for the black community, they've been saying a lot of stuff on Twitter, on YouTube, like the different memes. Like, it is just hilarious. So the thing I was thinking about with the whole Biden debacle is, I wonder if black people will vote for Trump just despite Biden and the comment that he made. I mean, that seems kind of like petty, but I mean, would you really want to vote for a person who straight up told you that if you don't support him, you're not black? Like, I don't know if he meant like black as in skin color, black as in cultural identity, black as in all of it. And I'm just like, you know, with Trump, Trump has said and done some crazy stuff, but I have never once heard him say, if you don't feel a certain way about whatever he's saying or doing, then you're not X, Y, and Z. You're not black. You're not white. You're not Hispanic. You're not Asian. I've never heard him say anything like that about a group of people and their identity. So, I mean, it's really offensive. We'll see what happens with the election results and whatnot. I know on my Facebook, people are talking about, you know, these are the two choices we have. And I'm like, well, I mean, I think there's a third party candidate, right? Libertarian or somebody. Gary Johnson is not running this time around. He ran in 2016, I think. 2012, 2008. He ran a couple times. I voted for him in the 2012 election, I think it was. Yes, it was 2012. And it was so awesome because I got to meet him. The school I was going to, they would host different, you know, politicians and different things like that with the political science department. And I got an email about Gary Johnson, and it was really funny because a few days before that, I had done the isidewith.com political quiz to see who I would line up with, who could I support based on my beliefs. And I matched up with Gary Johnson 94%. And I was like, who is this Gary Johnson dude? I've never heard him before. So I really started researching him and everything. And he was the governor of New Mexico at one point. He was a Republican. Then realized he's a libertarian because he has ideas that don't fit with the Republican narrative. And then I got an email saying that he was coming to campus. And I took off work. I was like, I've got to go see this. This is crazy. So it wasn't a lot of people there, mainly because the political science department at the school that I went to was really small. The school is a small school. At the time, I think it was less than 3,000 or so, or around 3,000. Now it's built up since then. But anyway, so it was a small program. When I graduated, there were seven political science majors graduating. So when I went there, it was like me, my professor that had it set up, Gary Johnson, and a couple other people. So I got to meet him, take a picture with him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'd never heard of you before until I took the I Side With quiz. And I matched up with you 94%. So I had to really figure out who you were. And he said, let me tell you a secret. I took it too. And I only matched up with myself 96%. So it was really fun meeting him. He seemed like a really cool guy. And I was going to work on his campaign, you know, volunteer. But I think I met him in like September or October. It was like right before the election. Like I could have gotten into it, but it kind of would have been pointless because the election was, you know, almost there, almost happening. But it was really cool to meet him. He was a cool guy. I don't think he ever said anything offensive about not being black. That's not funny. I mean, it is funny, but it's not. And it's like just the fact that, like, I don't know how he thought that would be okay to say that. You know, I mean, I don't know. Did he think it? Or maybe he really was just trying to be like hee hee funny when he said it. But that's not something you say to people. And not only that, but the connotation that it's trying to say, like, if you vote for Trump, you're not black. Like, what do you mean? That doesn't make any sense. If you support what Trump stands for, or if you prefer Trump over him, it has nothing to do with your skin color. It doesn't make you less of a black person if you vote for Trump. Like, that's insane. And I know, like, the Trump percentage with the black vote, I think it was like 8-13% or something like that for the 2016 election. So I'm just like, that's kind of a bad thing to compare it to. I was going to say, are those people not black? Yeah, they were called coons and house Negroes and Uncle Toms and all kinds of negative names because they supported Trump and the Republican Party and all that kind of stuff. And my thing is, it doesn't matter. You know, you should just support or vote for however you want, however you personally believe. You shouldn't vote based on parties. Like, what Biden was trying to say was basically, if you're a Republican, you're not black, because, you know, the Democrats basically take the black vote for granted because they've been voting for them since like the 1960s, really, but with FDR and the whole New Deal thing, the 1930s and 40s, that also had the black vote as well. So it's kind of like, oh, we don't really have to do or say anything with the black community because we already have their vote. And it's kind of, and Charlamagne's kind of like, you know, I don't know who he's going to vote for or how he feels about politics in general, But he had some really good questions, and Biden just didn't really answer a lot of the questions. He just kind of, oh yeah, look at my record, man. In 1974, this, and this, or the black community is, I'm like, really, dude? Like, nobody cares about what you have to say about the black community and your record. We don't care about that. Anybody can Google your record. You know, Charlamagne's like, the black community wants to know the answers to the questions that I'm asking. Nobody cares about your political track record. Well, I mean, I guess you do care, but that's not something, that's something you can just Google. You can Google 1974. What did Biden do? 1994. You know, that's something you can look on the internet and see. So I could tell Charlamagne was kind of like frustrated. And he's like, look, dude. Like the look on his face, which is hilarious. And he's just like, okay, yeah, well, what do you think about this? And he's, well, my record shows that. And I just, it was just a disaster. I don't know. Like, Biden needs somebody black or even like a young white person in his campaign that can be like, hey, grandpa, you know, he's actually older than the boomers, isn't he? Wouldn't he be a part of the silent generation? Is that what it's called? I think. So you can't even say, okay, boomer. So, okay, silent generation. This is what you say. This is how you do stuff in 2020. This is not the 1970s anymore. So he needs some young people by his side to kind of help him, you know, try to reach people or even just say stuff that's not like putting his tongue in his mouth or foot in your mouth type of thing. And it's like, I didn't mean to come off that way or say that. Yeah, but you did. So, but with that, you would think he would have enough common sense not to say something like that. But I mean, I don't know, but I just know the media, social media, like Twitter, they're just having a freaking field day with this. And it is so funny. Like the memes are hilarious. And of course, people are talking about how they're offended, which, you know, it's understandable, you know, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, everybody's offended about this, not just the black community. Everyone's offended by it because, you know, how could you say that? And that's kind of the problem with politics nowadays anyway, that people vote based on, you know, their partisanship or, you know, well, how should I vote? Should I vote this way? Should I vote that way? You know, it's not like, okay, let me look at the candidates and let's see who lines up with me. Let me see, you know, regardless of party, you know, let's say you're like, I don't consider myself to be a Republican. I'm an independent, but you know, Trump lines up with more of that, how I feel, than Biden. So it's not like I'm being a Republican. I'm just voting for Trump because he lines up with what I believe, or vice versa. For instance, my mom is an independent. She's always been an independent. She's voted for Republicans, Democrats in the past. She always goes based on, you know, their platforms. What do they stand for? What do they believe? It's not like, oh, you're a Democrat, let me vote for you. Oh, you're a Republican, let me vote for you. And one thing that I really liked about growing up is that we didn't have the kind of household that was like preaching that you should vote a certain way. Like a lot of black people that I know, they're like, oh, you should vote Democrat. And it's like, okay, well, why? Well, because, just because. Or something like, oh, because they helped with the 1960s Great Society and all that kind of stuff, which is a disaster in itself. And it's like, okay, well, people are like, I guess, like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and check Democrat, you know. And I feel like with the Republicans, they just kind of gave up on trying to get the black vote because most blacks vote for the Democrat Party. And then I kind of feel like them not reaching out makes it worse, because a lot of people, black and white, have somewhat of like a bias that the Republicans are racist, they don't like black people, they're not trying to reach out to the black community or whatever. And I don't think that's the case. I think that they don't want to waste their time. Like, for instance, if you're a Republican candidate, you are not going to go to Detroit, Michigan and try to get votes. Like, you're not going to do that. But I feel like if more people did, it would educate people that vote straight Democrat. You know, oh, I should vote Democrat because of this. You know, I've talked to people that they say they're a Democrat, and I kind of talked to them about different platforms, like positions that they stand for. And I'm like, dude, that's totally the Republican platform. They're like, what? I'm a Republican? I didn't really know the difference. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I think that might actually help, because a lot of people are uneducated when it comes to voting and elections, and they just vote, you know, how they were raised to, or who tells them to, or they just know the Republicans are racist, so they vote Democrat. or, you know, Democrats want to kill babies, so they vote for Republican. Like, people don't really think for themselves, so to speak. And as a high school teacher, I saw that a lot. And I really was excited about people who were interested in participating in voting. I always stress the importance of researching for yourself. I know a lot of young people, especially high school age kids, you know, the Gen Z kids, that they don't really know too much about politics. All they pretty much know is what's on Facebook, you know, Twitter, social media. And I know a lot of times parents at this point, especially millennial parents and Gen X parents, they're not really politically involved either, especially millennial parents. I mean, like the older millennials, the ones that are maybe 39. Yeah, because next year they'd be 40. Okay, so 39, or yeah, the 39-year-olds. Well, I guess probably the younger ones too, the ones that are still in their 20s, that they don't really care that much, or don't really, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, either party's going to screw me over, you know, blah, 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 which might be the case, but it's kind of like you have to participate in it. You know, because you can't complain. I mean, I guess you can, as an American, it's your right to complain about how things are turning out politically if you don't participate. Like, you can't, you know, people are like, oh, I hate Obama, or I hate Trump, or I hate, you know, whoever. I'm like, oh, well, who did you vote for? Oh, well, I didn't vote. And I'm like, okay, well, how do you, what, I'm just like, okay, whatever, you know, okay. So that's just how I feel, that if you don't participate, you should, and it doesn't matter who wins either. Like, you shouldn't, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. That's just how I grew up. You know, it's part of your duty as an American, you know, it's your right, civic duty, that type of thing, you know, to participate in the voting process, you know, whether or not the person you want wins, you know, just the fact that you did it, that type of thing. So, but not everybody was raised like that, as I found out growing up, and especially as a teacher, you know, being where I'm at now. But so I think that it is important for people to vote, especially young people. It's like, don't go in voting blind. Like, don't go in and just click straight R or straight D, you know, unless you actually have researched the candidates and you really feel like, okay, I'm going to vote straight R or straight D. Now, I don't know if some states, if you can do a split ticket or not. I like to think all states you could do. But I know for like Indiana, for most of the primaries, you have to declare one way or another because they're competing against each other. And then the general, you can do a split ticket. So I just feel like some people are just so lazy, just go in and just punch a button, or however you guys do it nowadays. I think we do buttons. Ours is electronic. Some people still do paper, which is crazy, but... so yeah, I just feel like people should know something about something. You know, you shouldn't go in there just blind, like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm voting for. I just see these people, their names look cool, you know, like, I don't know what's going on. So, for me, our election was pushed back because of coronavirus. So our election day is now June 2nd. And I am actually going to be one of the, poll clerks. So if you guys are in Indiana and you happen to be in Hendricks County, you can reach out to me on Twitter, AK17033, and I'll tell you what location I'm at. So again, Indiana, Hendricks County, reach out to me. And it'd be cool to meet people that actually listen. If you guys are from Indiana, that'd be awesome. So reach out to me if you want. So I'm excited. I've never done it before. I was going to do it a few years ago. Oh, I guess 2016. But I got a call, and the person that was going to be having surgery or something they were going to be doing, they got it pushed back so they could do it. And the person called me back, and she's like, well, I had a spot for you, but I'm like, okay. And she's like, well, would you be interested in doing it? I'm like, well, yeah. So she called me a few weeks ago, and I think it was somebody had something going on, and she's like, I know who I'm gonna call. I already know I'm gonna call AK. I'm definitely gonna call her. And I was like, I'm glad that you thought of me, type of thing. And she's like, yeah, I remember that you haven't gotten a chance to do it yet. So I'm excited about it. So that's gonna be fun. But with the general election, I'm running for school board again, and that person actually, she's a very important person. So she knows I'm running for school board, so I basically have like the backing of a lot of people, which is awesome. So my name would be on the ballot for the November election, because there are, I think, 3 spots available on the school board. So, I mean, whoever wins, all three people win. So I think it's like one person would start, maybe, I'm trying to remember, like the school year coming up and then the next school year. But basically, if there's going to be 3 people and they're going to win. So I'm going to win something. So I would hope that I get the most votes because of my political connections, which is awesome. Not that I'm bragging or anything. It's just really cool to have, you know, like the local backing of the people in your town and your county. That's really cool. It's a cool thing. And also the guy that I'm campaigning for, I also have the backing of, you know, him and his people as well. So I'm like, I don't have to do anything. Just put my name on the ballot and make a Facebook page or a Twitter account and be like, hey, vote for me for school board. And that's about it. Because I hate talking on the phone. Door to door, I would hate doing that anyway. But with the whole coronavirus thing, I don't think people are going to open their door willingly, you know? So, I mean, pretty much I would just do social media, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I have to figure out how else I'm going to get the word out about me running and have to create a platform and biography and that type of stuff. So that's going to be really awesome to be able to do that in November. But what was I going with all this? I started talking about Joe Biden and his foolishness. Okay, I had like bullet points written down somewhere, but I don't know where it's at. I'm trying to remember. One of the things I really wanted to talk about was the churches situation, where apparently Trump declared houses of worship essential, and he was going to order governors to open them or suggest they open them or whatever. And people on my Facebook and people on Twitter, people just everywhere, they were excited about the fact that the president acknowledged that churches and whatnot are essential businesses or services and they should be open and governors should open them and this, this, and this. And I'm like, weren't you the same people that were upset that they were closed in the first place? It violates the 10th Amendment, right? So doesn't it still violate the 10th Amendment? I mean, I haven't said anything about it on Facebook. I just kind of let my people just, yay, churches are open. But I'm like, it's a violation of the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment to the Constitution basically states that any powers not listed in the Constitution belong to the states. So for the president to order, which I don't think he actually ordered it, but to order that all states open their houses of worship, that's a violation of the 10th Amendment. So, and then some people were saying it's a violation of the 10th Amendment because the governor's closing down the houses of worship violates the 9th Amendment, which is the people have a say in the rights that aren't in the Constitution. So I just kind of feel like it's a little hypocritical. It's like, I am okay with my rights being quote unquote infringed upon if it goes in my favor, which it's kind of backwards to me. But I mean, it kind of happens a lot. If you think about it, different court cases or different amendments, it's like, oh, I'm against that. But if it benefits me, like, oh, it's a violation of the 10th Amendment to close down churches, or violation of the First Amendment, the right to assemble and religion. But if the president forces it or orders it, it's okay. I mean, not really, but all right. I mean, I don't know. But where I live in Indiana, I'm not sure about the rest of the state, but I live in central Indiana, kind of central. I'm in a donut county, central Indiana. And I don't think any of the churches around here have opened. I don't know too much about non-Christian. We do have, my county, we have mosques and synagogues, and I don't know the name of the Hindu temple. Maybe it's a temple. We have some of those too, Hindu temples, I guess. So I'm not really sure about them, but I know that the churches around here have not opened. You know, they're like, I don't care what the governor says, we're gonna stay closed until we feel like it's safe for our members. So a lot of people in the church are older people. So they're like, you know, we're in that bracket of the high risk category, I don't want to open the church yet, you know, and have grandma and grandpa out here in church and they end up getting sick or, you know, risking or whatever. So one of the churches is doing, they've been doing this for a couple weeks. I think it's cool. They've been doing a drive-in church service. So there is a drive-in theater around where I live, and I don't know how they got this to happen. I guess they maybe made a deal or whatever with the company, you know, they renting it. I don't know how they're doing it, but they have where you can drive in, and I don't know why they have the cars parked far apart. I mean, because they're not getting out, you can't get out of your car. But they have it where you park, and they have it like on the stage or whatever, and it's really cool that they're doing that. So they're being creative. They have the drive-in, they have the online services. Some other churches have online services. Some of them had like parking lot services, kind of what they were doing, just in the church parking lot. So people are getting creative with it. And I know I mentioned before that the church is not a person. It's not, or I'm sorry, no, the church is not a building. It's the people. It's not a building. It's the people. So I think it's a good idea for churches to, you know, go based on how they feel about their congregation. They're not opening up just because they can, you know, they want to be safe. Cause I think there was a man, what state was it in? It was somewhere in the South. I don't remember his name, but I just remember this guy, he refused to close his church. And he was saying something about God would protect them from coronavirus or something along the lines of that. And he just refused. And he ended up dying. So that's kind of a situation where it's like, yeah, you wanted to exercise your First Amendment rights of freedom of religion and the right to assemble, but it ended up kind of, you know, biting you in the butt because now you're dead. So, I mean, I don't know the rest of the story. I kind of quit after he died. I was kind of like, really, dude? I kind of quit following the story. So you can correct me if I'm wrong or tell me what it is, who it was. But I just thought, you know, the government is supposed to protect your rights. And the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are some of the rights they're supposed to protect. But you can't have liberty and pursuit of happiness if you're not alive. So, but anyway, I mean, it is what it is. But my governor, I think I talked about this before, that he's opened our state up in stages. So we are in stage 3, I think we're in stage 3. Basically, he has it set up to where hopefully we're back to normal by the 4th of July, which is great. You know, fireworks and all that kind of stuff. It's great. Hopefully. So we're kind of doing, you know, stages right now. Like, I don't know where we're at capacity wise. To be honest, I'm not really paying attention. I don't really care because I am not going into the store. You can call me paranoid if you want, but I've been ordering stuff off Amazon. I've been doing the Walmart grocery pickup. I have not physically been inside a store since March 26th. And I only did it then because my mom gave me a heads up that the governor was going to do an emergency executive order, a stay-at-home order. And she's like, if you need something from the store, go get it now before he makes the announcement. Because people are going to freak out and they're going to go to the store and do whatever they need to do. And she's like, go now, get up and go now to whatever you need to get to the store. And so I got it, came home, and I have not been to the store since. So I know it's quote unquote safe to go to the store now, but I'm like, you know, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm just going to stay home and just chill. You know, if I want to get some fresh air, just go out, walk to my mailbox and back, or walk around to the Amazon hub lockers and get my packages and walk back, or stand on my patio, you know, my balcony or whatever. So, I mean, again, you might call me paranoid. It's okay. It is what it is. But my mom is in the high risk category. But I mean, I don't really see her a lot. I haven't really seen her a lot because of that reason, you know, because I mean, even though I haven't gone anywhere, I just still, you know, I love my mom. She's my best friend. But I told her, you know, I don't really feel comfortable, you know, being around you because, you know, I don't know. What if something happens? What, you know? And she's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. So we talk on the phone and we do Zoom and all that kind of stuff, even though I live 5 minutes away, but that's okay. So my sister's birthday was yesterday. Her birthday was yesterday. And so she's a She's a piece of work. So we've been asking her for months, what do you want to do for your birthday? Do you want a party? Do you want to go to dinner? It's a family tradition. You know, we go out to dinner for your birthday or whatever you want to do when it comes to food. We always do that ever since before I was born. And she's like, I don't know. And we're like, okay, well, what do you want? Do you want a new outfit? What do you want for a gift? Do you want clothes? And she finally gave us a list of stuff that she wanted. My sister likes the finer things in life, the more expensive things in life. For instance, she got a Louis Vuitton face mask. I guess the little $2 Walmart ones weren't good enough, right? So she wanted, they're called Oh Yeahs by UGG. And I looked at them, and they're like slides or something. I don't know what's up with these new fashion shoes or whatever. And I'm like, these are $100 and they look like a pair of house shoes. So that's what she wanted, but I don't have a job. So I don't know. I think my mom might have bought her a pair, but I'm like, I don't have a job. So I'm not gonna be able to afford to buy you $100 pair of house shoes. So I bought her, she's on a sunflower kick. So I bought her some sunflower stuff off Amazon. She bought herself the new S20 phone. So I got her a phone case for that. So she decided that she wanted to do a barbecue. She originally said Olive Garden. I'm like, okay, cool, you know. So, you know, when you know you're going somewhere and you get like your stomach prepared for it, that sounds kind of weird, but maybe it's just me. I don't know if anybody else does that. You kind of get your stomach prepared. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have Olive Garden, you know, maybe some pasta or, you know, breadsticks, whatever. And so my car didn't start yesterday. I need a new battery. Apparently I need to buy one. And my stepdad came over and he jumped it. And he's like, when are you coming over to the house? I said, what's going on? What do you mean? He's like, we're having a barbecue. And I said, what? What about Olive Garden? He's like, oh, well, this morning your sister woke up and decided that she wanted to have a barbecue. And he said, so she ran out to the store and got a bunch of meat. And your brother seasoned it up and he's going to put on the grill and he's going to barbecue. And I'm like, I have a nice shirt on and I have her gifts in a gift bag instead of a Walmart bag. So I thought we were going to Olive Garden. Now, I really like barbecue. But my stomach for the past couple days has been prepared for Olive Garden and not, you know, the charred, you know, barbecued food type of thing, you know. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, why did anybody tell me? He's like, she didn't tell you? I said, no. And he's like, oh, well, we're having a barbecue. So I went over there and I was talking to my mom about it. And I said, she doesn't even like barbecue. And she's like, that's what I said. My sister, I wouldn't say hate is a strong word. But she does not like barbecue. So I'm like, why would she have that as an idea? And she's like, I don't know, but that's what she said she wanted. I mean, it's her birthday. She went out and bought the meat for your brother to barbecue. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So my brother went ahead and barbecued it. And he did really well. I had a problem trying to eat it because, again, my stomach wasn't prepared for it. And also, I hadn't eaten all day anyway. So I brought a bunch of leftovers home with me. And so she decided to have some friends over too. So last minute, she decides that she wants a barbecue and she wants to have friends over. I think she had three girls come over to hang out and, you know, have barbecue or whatever. And that was a last minute thing. And even the girls were talking about it. And my mom's like, this was a last minute thing. Like, she decided this morning to do this. And they're like, oh, okay. I was like, what? Why didn't she tell us before? It's like, she woke up and decided, I want these three girls over to hang out. I don't know. So it was good. One thing that was really funny was, if you're from, now I'm from Indiana. My mom is from Illinois. So I don't really know too much about the other Midwestern states like Nebraska and the Dakotas. I'm not really in Kansas. I'm not really sure about those states, how their stuff works, but I know about Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, how it's different. The crops that we grow are different. At least I think so. I don't know. for, I know they grow like wheat out there and stuff. They grow corn too. But for Indiana, we are known, at least in Indiana, we're known for our corn. Our corn is delicious. And it's, to describe it, it's a little sweet. I mean, you'd have to like eat it to, I can't really describe it. It's delicious, but you'd have to like eat it to taste what I'm talking about. And it's a little sweet. And whenever we go to restaurants and we get corn on the cob, my mom and I are like, is this Indiana corn? So we eat it like, yeah, it is. No, it's not. But apparently this season, the farming season, we had farmers had issues with crops and that type of stuff. So I guess we've been importing corn, because my mom looked at the package and she said, it's Cincinnati corn. I'm going, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours from us. Maybe it'll still taste the same. And so we ate it, and it was okay. It wasn't sweet. It wasn't Indiana corn, but it was okay. And I said, I wonder if people are judging us right now, because the girls were there, and they're looking like, what are you guys talking about? It's corn. And I'm like, no, it's not. There's a difference. So if you're from a state that's known for corn, let me know how you guys feel about your corn, your state corn, or if you've had Indiana corn and you can tell the difference or compare it to other places. You know, I don't know. I'm just proud of Indiana and our corn. So hopefully next season, the farmers will do okay, because I know this whole coronavirus messed them up, but they'll do okay. So we won't have to import a lot of corn from other states and whatnot. So, but yeah, so the barbecue, it was okay. The whole thing was, like I said, thrown together at the last minute, but it was okay. She had fun. That's all that mattered, that she had fun. It was her birthday. It was all about her. So she had her little friends and all that. But my stepdad, apparently he's been doing, what's he called it? Like movies on the side of the house. That's what he's been calling it. I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing it's like a projector and he's just projecting it on the side of the house. Because my mom was saying that they were out there one night and the next door neighbors kind of like pulled up some chairs and sat with them. Like, hey, can we watch this movie too? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it's up. The whole neighborhood can see it if you want. Well, not the whole neighborhood, but like the people on the street. And so he was going to do that. He was going to have the girls pick out a movie and we were going to do the movie on the side of the house. And I haven't seen it before, which I thought was cool. It's not raining right now, I don't think. So he might try to do it tonight, because last night it was raining. It was a storm, like thunderstorm. We haven't had a thunderstorm in probably a couple months. And if you're on my Twitter, AK17033, you saw the picture that I posted. It was my brother sitting outside looking at the storm clouds, looking at the storm form. And I was kind of saying, you know, I'm on a page on Facebook. It's called Midwest Probs. I like the page. And that's one of the things that people in the Midwest or even other places that we do. We sit outside, smell the air, watch the storm clouds form and all that kind of stuff. Like, oh yeah, it's coming this way. So, you know, stay out there until it starts raining. And so we got all our stuff, went inside. And it was beautiful. It was lightning and it was just a beautiful storm. But of course it kind of killed the idea of watching the movie on the side of the house. But I thought it was interesting that my brother did that, because growing up, my dad and I did that, because I'm the oldest. So my dad and I, when I was young, we would stand outside on the porch and we would watch the clouds form, whether it be tornado clouds or storm clouds. We would stand out there and just watch it. Because, I mean, just hashtag Midwest props, right? And I remember, because I was a little kid, and I remember my mom yelling at us to get inside the house, get in the basement or the bathroom, whatever, you know, safety precautions we're supposed to take. And he's like, oh, we're still fine. It's okay. It's okay now. Get in the house. No, it's okay. It's still fine. It's cool. We don't have to come inside yet. And then he'd be like, okay, yeah, we got to go in, whatever, it's time to go in. And so that was just something I remember growing up, that whenever we would hear the siren or, you know, get some kind of notification that it was happening, we would run outside to watch it. So my little brother doing that, it was like, aw. But yeah, the barbecue, the party was fine. Today is Memorial Day, as you all know. For Indiana, we usually have the Indy 500 race. Oh, it's actually, yeah, it's on Sunday, it's yesterday. We usually have the Indy 500 race, and Memorial Day weekend, you know, it kind of pops off with the race I'm pretty sure people have heard of the Indianapolis 500, right? Like, that's a big thing. I'm not into, like, racing, but I'm pretty sure it's a big thing, like, worldwide. I know we have people from all over the world, like, participate in it. So, the Indianapolis 500, that's something that's really big in Indiana. So, we have that on Sunday, and then we'll have, like, barbecues and that type of stuff, fireworks, like, the traditional Memorial Day stuff on Monday. And it kind of pops off, like, and starts the summer. Because schools sometimes get out before Memorial Day or like a couple days after. So it's like the pools are opening, the schools are, you know, getting out and this kind of stuff. Of course, it's looking a lot different this year, but it's just a tradition what we do. So it was really weird yesterday, you know, not to see or hear anything about it. Just kind of like nobody was outside. Nobody was, you know, I didn't hear fireworks yesterday. I might hear them tonight. It's only like 8:35 and it's still light outside. So I might hear him tonight, you know, be able to go drive over somewhere and see him. Because where I live at, there's still some fields out here. When I first moved out to this town 12 years ago, 14 years ago, I can't do math, a while ago, that it was a lot of fields. I mean, like, not just fields, empty fields. I mean, like, corn fields, like wheat fields. And they ended up selling the land. People are selling the land and they're developing, you know, a lot of housing additions, stores, gas stations, all kind of stuff. And it's really sad because I remember when I first moved out here and I would drive by the fields and I would like get out and look. I'm like, I can see corn growing on these corn stalks. This is so cool. Now I would never like touch it and take it, but I just look at it, I'm like, this is so cool. I'm actually seeing corn grow. And now it's like, well, where are the fields at, you know? But anyway, so it was weird not to have, you know, that whole commotion type stuff going on yesterday. But granted, I do live out in a donut county in the suburbs, so I don't really hear a lot of that stuff anymore. I did live in the county that was where the Indy 500, where the racetrack was, like right there. And it was like the race cars, you hear all of it, everything. The cops directing traffic. I mean, it's just a disaster. So I did move away from that area. When we first moved to the city area, that's where we lived, and then we moved out here, and then I went back, and so kind of all over the place, but within like a 10-mile radius of where I've kind of lived. And so with that, I'm just like, there's no race. There's, you know, they play it on TV, you know, deuces. There's nothing like that. The race has been postponed to August, like August 20 something, I think. So I'm just like, okay, well, you know, it is what it is. Was that it? I talked about Memorial Day. That was the whole point. Well, today's Memorial Day, and I hate when people get Memorial Day confused with Veterans Day and Armed Forces Day. It's not the same. They are definitely not the same. And it gets really frustrating too to see on Facebook when people are like, oh, I hate Happy Memorial Day. It's not happy. Like, it's a day of remembrance. I understand the sentiment. People are like, oh yeah, it's happy because we're remembering the people who gave their lives for this country. And I'm like, yeah, but tell that to their family members. That's not happy. Like, I've never said Happy Memorial Day. Like, that's just weird. But some people do it, some people don't. But when they post on Facebook, they're like, oh yeah, well, thank you to those who are serving in the military. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, Memorial Day is for the ones that are dead. You know that, right? I'm like, well, they should have a day for the ones who are currently serving. And I'm like, that's the third Saturday in May. So there is a day for those who are serving. It's called Armed Forces Day. And so people get Armed Forces Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day mixed up. And when I had students, when I had a job as a teacher, they would ask me, they knew I came from a military family, but also as a history teacher, I should know anyway. And they're like, well, we've heard of these days. What's the difference? And I was trying to be all like PC about it. And I was like, you know what? Let me just be real. Veterans Day is for military personnel who are no longer in the military. Armed Forces Day are for those who are still in the military. Memorial Day is for ones who died from being in the military. Like, that's literally the basic language I gave. And they're like, really? How do people get that confused? It's either you're dead, you're alive, or you used to do it. And I said, pretty much. So, but my kids, they liked asking me a lot of, like, military questions and stuff. And they're like, well, what branches? I was like, look, I grew up as an army brat, so you can ask me about other branches, but I don't really know too much about the other branches, especially like the Navy. Even though I have family members in the Navy, I'm like, I don't really know too much about that. Just ask me about army. Like, I can help you out with army. And I had some kids who were interested in joining the army and all that kind of stuff. And so I really like that, you know, talking about the military holidays that we celebrate. So today is, again, Veterans, I got myself messed up, Memorial Day. And I have a friend who died, and it's been almost 10 years since he died. And I went to his grave. As I often do, during the times, there's usually four times a year at least, I'll go see him, his birthday, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and the anniversary, which will be 10 years this year. So the cemetery, that it's maybe like 5 minutes from me, but a lot of military personnel are buried in that cemetery, and there's a mausoleum as well. And usually when I go on a military holiday, when I go, they have decorated, they have gigantic American flags lining up the aisles. Like, when you turn in to come into the cemetery, it's just flags just all down both sides. It's just beautiful, just flags everywhere. And so when I did it today, I just felt some type of way about it not being there. Now I know what's going on, but I'm just like, it's so weird to turn into the cemetery and not see these flags lined up. And I'm just like, okay, so I'm driving. And as I'm driving through the cemetery, I look and I can see all the little American flags that are up. You know, people, I saw people over there, you know, visiting relatives or friends or whatever. And so when I got back to his grave and I started walking, I was like, and they haven't mowed their grass either. So it was different, you know, not having the patriotic feeling of driving into the cemetery and having all those flags there. But it was still, you know, nice to be able to go visit with him like I do every year. And so I thank him for his service to our country. I'm not one of the people who is like, thank you for defending our freedoms or fighting for our freedoms, because our freedoms are not being threatened by anybody. Our freedoms are not in Afghanistan. They're not in Iraq. They're not anywhere else except here. And I do understand the sentiment about how people feel about, you know, the whole fighting for your freedom, defending your freedom thing. But even when I was a kid, I was like, who's trying to threaten? Who's taking away our freedom? Like, the United States is the most powerful country in the world. Who could do that? Like, who would even have the nerve to try to do that? I mean, we have military bases in over 150 countries. Like, who would try to take away our freedoms? And I'm just like, I guess you could say the last war that's fought for freedom would be World War II. And that's kind of pushing it. But I do understand the sentiment. I do get it. You know, thank you for fighting for our freedoms, protecting our freedoms, you know, being a hero and all that kind of stuff. But no, I never say that. I always say, thank you for your service. Because at the end of the day, we don't have the draft in place anymore. I mean, we have way too many people who want to be in the military. That they're even like kind of relaxing guidelines or kind of, you know, changing things around because you can't be in because you have a tattoo here or this and this. So they've kind of restricted or lessened some of the restrictions. But how I feel about it is, thank you for your service, because you made the choice. You were not forced to do this. You made the choice to go into the military. And whatever reason it's for, if it's for the free college, to have a place to live, to defend the country, whatever it's for, the point is that you made the choice to do this as a service to your country. So I say thank you for your service, not the whole freedom thing, but thank you for your service. And people would be like, well, your dad was in the military, your grandpa, your uncle, you're from a military family. I said, so I'm supposed to say thank you for my freedom just because I come from a military family? And I'm like, no, that's one thing my dad actually taught me. He's like, you know, don't blindly follow the military. Don't get, you know, starry-eyed. Like, oh, thank you for your freedom. You're a hero because you're in the military. He's like, don't do that. You need to, you know, really look into what's happening, you know, in the world with the U.S., the, you know, the military, that type of thing, and see for yourself. Don't just, oh, yeah, military heroes, you know, thank you for the whole freedom thing. And I really like that about him. that he wasn't, you know, one of those ones like, oh, you're a military family. You know, thank you for your freedom. Thank you for fighting for our freedom. No matter what. So he wasn't that kind of person. So people kind of look at me crazy. They're like, I thought you said your dad was in the military. I'm like, he was for almost 30 years. Well, why don't you say thank you for fighting for our freedom? I'm like, because they're not. Now, this might be a controversial comment. So for those of you who are listening, if you want to correct me or tell me I'm full of crap and give your own opinion, AK17033, I totally listen to everybody's opinion. This is my personal opinion. So other people might feel differently. You know, some might be like, yeah, AK, you're right. I mean, I thank them for their service, but, you know, fighting for my freedom, you know, my freedom's already been fought for, you know, from back in the day, you know, Revolutionary War, the Civil War, War of 1812, World War I, World War II, you know, kind of like since 1945, we've been kind of cool. So, but yeah, so thank you for your service. If anybody listening is from a military family, or if you're in the military, know someone in the military, you know, tell them AK from Anchor thanks them for their service. So yeah, that part. But another thing that I always get bothered by when it comes to military is the preconceived notion that military means go to war and die. That's always bothered me because I know that's not true. And not many people who actually join the military qualify to go to war and die. So whenever I would have kids, you know, because I taught high school teenagers who want to join the military, and they're like, well, your dad was in, can you tell me about what I have to do to join this and this? People are like, you can't join, you're gonna go to war and die. And they're like, huh? Or their parents, my mom said I can't do it, I'm gonna go to war and die. And I'm like, you realize that there's other jobs in the military, right? I said, the military is an organization. I said, they have janitors. They have people that do laundry. They have kitchen staff. They have secretaries. I said, they have every job you can think of is in the military. So the odds of you going to war and dying are pretty much slim to none, unless you actually qualify for that. And that's what you go into. And they're like, there's other jobs in the military? I'm like, oh my gosh. So I do a little impromptu military lesson and pull up the site from the army or, you know, whatever branch and scroll down and show them all the jobs. They're like, I can go and I can be in the band. I can join the military and play in a band. Yeah. So that kind of gets kids interested because they think military, go to war and die. So anybody out there who's listening and thinking about joining the military, you're not going to go to war and die. So you can join the military and be in the band. You can play in the band, play that trumpet, you know? So, but one thing that always bothered me as well, and this is coming from a military family, it bothers me so much when people refer to the military as soldiers. They're not soldiers. Like, I understand the army is the biggest branch in the military, but they are not soldiers. Everybody's not a soldier. Like, oh yeah, the soldiers did this and the soldiers did... Now troops is different because troops is everybody. And I'm like, he's not a soldier. He's in the Marines. Oh, you know what I mean? No. I don't know. No, I don't know what you mean. And don't tell him that. Don't ever call a Marine a soldier or vice versa. And I'm like, because that's very offensive. Well, at least from what I've seen and heard and lived, you know, calling somebody outside their branch, especially if it's associated with the army, because you don't call an army person an airman. You know, you might call an airman a soldier, but you don't call them, so it's like, no, there are five branches of the military. Well, I'm sorry, six, the Space Force. I was reading about the Space Force. Apparently calling them space cadets is out. They're not going to be space cadets. That's not going to be the recruit's name. So we'll go with the official five. It's official now, but the first five. So the army are the soldiers. They're the only ones that are soldiers. So if you see somebody and they have they're in uniform and that patch says U.S. Air Force, do not call him a soldier or her. Do not call him a soldier. No, I don't know if they get offended that much because they probably already know that people think everybody in the military is a soldier. But if it were me, I'd be like, excuse me, I'm not trying to, you know, be rude or anything, but I'm in the Air Force, so I'm an airman, not a soldier or a Marine or a sailor or a Coast Guardsman. I read they were called Coasties, but when I was listening to the Memorial Day stuff yesterday, they were saying that, you know, soldier and Marine, and they said Coast Guardsmen. I was like, I thought they were called Coasties, but whatever, Coast Guardsmen. So I was like, no, they're not all soldiers. Please don't call them all soldiers. Or they'll be like, oh, I met a soldier in the Marines. And I'm like, you just hear what she said? A soldier in the Marines? But okay. Okay, whatever. It is what it is. And then another thing, of course, that bothers me is that the Coast Guard gets left out a lot. And I'm like, the Coast Guard is the hardest branch to get into. It's the smallest branch. It's the hardest branch. And they have the highest ASVAB score. And I think even their, I think they increased their age cutoff, but it was probably like the lowest one as well. Like, they're not playing. You can't be old and dumb and being in the Coast Guard. Not saying you can be old and dumb in the other branches, but the Coast Guard does not play. And when I was doing research on the Coast Guard when I was younger, because, you know, being in the Army, we don't really hear about other branches, especially Coast Guard. I'm like, well, what's about the Coast Guard? Well, let me learn about them. And I learned about them. I was like, wow, the Coast Guard gets stuff done. They're not even playing. Like, all this stuff that you hear about that you don't hear about in the water, you know, the international waters or that type of thing, you know, drug deals and all this kind of stuff going on. It doesn't happen because Coast Guard takes care of it. So the Coast Guard is very important. So anybody out there, if you're a Coastie, I also include you in the military and thank you for your service as well. But yeah, it was something that always bothered me too. It's like I was watching something. Was it earlier today? I was watching something. It was a video, a Memorial Day like video or something like that. And they were listing all the branches. I'm like, what about the Coast Guard? What about the Coast Guard? And they didn't say the Coast Guard. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh yeah, the Army and Marine, the Navy and Air Force. And I'm like, what about the Coast Guard? But, you know, I'm sorry, Coasties out there, that you don't get the credit that you deserve, the recognition that you deserve. I'm sorry, but thank you for your service as well. You are a part of the United States Armed Forces, so thank you. Okay, I got that off my chest, the military stuff that bothers me. I got that off my chest. Okay, so I think that I am actually done. I have done this in increments to be able to split it so you're not listening to the whole hour. I think I've been talking, I'm not really sure. I've tried to do 15 minute increments. I think that works out really well for people who want to listen but not all at once and don't want to go back and pause and play all that kind of stuff, you know, find out where you were in the podcast. So I think that's all I have to say for now. I'll probably do another podcast when I feel like I have something else that's, you know, worthy, I guess, to talk about. I don't know, like. But okay, so I will talk to you all later. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.